Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. Great to have you with us on the day before the 4th of July. Coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Brian Weber with you. We're going to have a lot of fun today. In addition to covering all the big stories across the NBA, NBA Twitter blew up last night with the word that Boogie Cousins is taking his talents to the Golden State Warriors. LeBron James is putting together the cast of a reality show in Southern California as the Lakers get more interesting by the day. So we'll try to put the NBA's Western Conference in context. In 20 minutes, we'll check in with Eric Pincus from BasketballInsiders.com, NBA TV as well. That means I need you to be a little bit patient with your phone calls, although I am going to be more flexible today. If you're at work right now, you know what's going on. Most people are mailing it in. Adam Hawk didn't even bother to put on the customary shirt with the top button today. It's a T-shirt Tuesday here in Southern California. So summer rules to a degree. I can't fully just say, hey, there are no rules today at 1-800-636-8686. A lot of people on the roads looking for sports takes. So I will do my best to achieve that balance. We'll take you across the NBA. We'll talk a little bit of baseball as well. But by now, hopefully you know, I am a clone at heart. I've been listening to the show for 20 years. Big fan of the JTP. I was a guest on Woodscopes a couple weeks ago. I enjoyed that. So I'm looking to keep the inner circle happy, cast a broad net, and just get 3 hours of outstanding content achieved together. And then we can all enjoy the fireworks coming up tomorrow. And a reminder, Smack Off coming up July 20th, you can use today's show as batting practice. We're going to get you ready for the greatness of the Smack Off by counting down the three calls that I think are the most interesting in the history of the tremendous competition. You know the phone number, 1-800-636-8686. Emails, for whatever reason, click with me, rome@haveatake.com. Tweet me, BW Weber. In fact, if the phone call is good that you're placing right now, I might shorten a well-crafted monologue to take a phone call or two before we take the first break and then check in with Eric Pincus from BasketballInsiders.com. I am by trade a quote-unquote NFL guy. I follow the money, and you can follow what I've done with the National Football League when I'm not here on Twitter, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. But nothing, if I'm going to be objective with my analysis, beats NBA Twitter, because yesterday it was lit. Do kids still say that? I'm trying my best to be woke as the fill-in guy. So as I was thinking about how the dominoes were falling, and let's take it one step at a time, because people are freaking out about DeMarcus Cousins joining the Warriors. And I get it in the abstract. When he gets healthy, and that's a big timetable, if that needs to be clarified, he's coming back from the Achilles injury, and you can think about a litany of all-stars that have dealt with that serious injury who were never the same. But when he comes back, right around, say, All-Star weekend in February, the Warriors are going to have the ability to have five All-Stars in the starting five. But what are you truly getting with Boogie Cousins? Because if you've been paying attention, he is the biggest enigma in all of basketball. Yes, supremely talented, an amazingly gifted player, but he's got a lot of issues, to be kind. So you have the question from the standpoint of health. You have the question from the standpoint of fit. How is he going to push his ego aside the first time Draymond Green starts yelling at him? And can you presume you're getting the same Boogie Cousins when he's medically cleared in February or early March, worst case? So I can understand why people freaked out. You heard all of the standard cliches. The rich get richer. The NBA somehow is fixed on every level. Forget about just the draft lottery. You now have the champions, three of the last 4 years, back-to-back NBA titleist, picking up one of, when healthy, the top 15 players in all of basketball. Still, let's pump the brakes to a degree, because I need to see which version of DeMarcus Cousins is going to show up, and will he be coachable? And that's why the Warriors were able to take a calculated risk and remember the role he's going to play on this team. Last year, it was guys like Zaza Pachulia and JaVale McGee who were the quote-unquote rim protectors for the Warriors. They just need him to be a role player. This is a show-me, prove-that-you-can-fit-in kind of deal. Not a lot of financial risk. At the same time, how many teams around the league had the opportunity to pick him up and said, no thanks, because we don't want all the baggage that comes with Boogie Cousins. So that was the culmination of a roller coaster yesterday. As you think about how the day played out, the Lakers are the gift that keep on giving from a standpoint of feeding the content beast. Because we knew when LeBron decided he was going to Southern California, and we don't have to reach all the way back to Sunday and what Grant Napier did yesterday. He was always on top of the NBA doings because he's been calling games for the Kings for the better part of three decades. When LeBron made it official, and you knew the momentum had been building for a long time, that he was leaving Ohio again, this time to go to Southern California. You heard this was a lifestyle decision beyond what's going to happen on the court, and that's why he agreed to the three-year contract plus the player option. He realizes it's going to be a slow build. He's going to lose the ability to keep that streak of making it to the NBA Finals. Now, eight consecutive years, that's going to end. But this was about family, where do you want to live, lifestyle, and what he's going to do after basketball. So LeBron has already dabbled in producing, and living in Southern California gives him a chance to schmooze with more Hollywood power brokers. According to reports, based on his production deal with Warner Brothers, Space Jam 2 is already in the works. Hopefully Jim gets a much bigger part after he dominated the original with that cameo. But it feels like movies will not be enough for LeBron James because perhaps he's cutting his teeth with the greatness of reality TV. Because the Lakers already had a dysfunctional foundation with the Ball family and the nonsense of Lonzo and Kyle Kuzma going back and forth with the diss tracks, as the kids say. Well, now you have LeBron James as the executive producer, because I think it would be foolish and inane to make the assumption the Lakers aren't running these moves past him. Well, the guy who's calling the shots now for this TV show apparently has decided he wants his team to be as combustible as possible. Because remember, after the debacle of J.R. Smith losing his mind towards the business end of game one of the NBA Finals, costing the Cavaliers a shot at winning that game on the road, you heard the conventional wisdom saying LeBron wants to play with quote-unquote high IQ guys, players who have a real command of a basketball intellect. Well, how's that working out for you, LeBron? Because think about what the Lakers have done. Adding JaVale McGee, Lance Stephenson, yesterday Rajon Rondo. Luke Walton better hope that LeBron feels like coaching this team in addition to running the team and not just have power lunches at Spago here in Southern California, because that locker room is going to be off the hook. And at this point, who else should the Lakers consider? Ron Artest still lives in L.A. Give Meta a call. Is Vernon Maxwell available? This feels like J.R. Ryder is going to be walking through that door in the not-too-distant future. And if you want to come up with some rationale for this, you're hearing NBA insiders like our friend Eric Pincus from BasketballInsiders.com, who joins us in less than 15 minutes, saying, well, at least LeBron has respect for these players. That's why he would sign off on the moves. Because even though Lance Stephenson is nuts and broke the internet with the blowing in LeBron's ear move, well, there's a degree of respect there between NBA veterans. Well, this team is insane in the membrane, and it feels like all they really needed to do yesterday was to add Boogie Cousins. That was the move I was waiting for, as you went step by step, because the Lakers renounced the rights to Julius Randle. He wound up in New Orleans. That put DeMarcus Cousins in play. And if you're just going to do the full Vanderpump Rules approach, if you want this to be a bad reality show, DeMarcus Cousins would have been the perfect addition. Instead, he winds up in Golden State. And now, if you think about how things are going to play out in the NBA next year, even with the addition of LeBron and all these marginal moves, and yes, perhaps now Lonzo Ball is on the block, although isn't it convenient that we found out towards the end of the weekend he's been dealing with a knee injury, and that's going to make it far more challenging to trade him. And I have to wonder, where did that report come from? couldn't be the old man speaking it into existence. Well, with the addition of Rondo, maybe Ball is expendable. But would San Antonio even consider taking him in return as part of a package to pick up Kawhi Leonard? That's the next domino that has to fall. But there's no urgency for San Antonio to get that deal done unless Kawhi pulls an operation shutdown and says, I'm not playing, and we'll get there when we get closer to the start of training camp in October. But even with the addition of LeBron, I didn't care who the supporting cast was, be it the young guys that the Lakers already had, Kuzma, Ingram, Ball, or this new Expendables reboot, a bunch of action heroes in the twilight of their career showing up in L.A. Did you really think LeBron was going to take this team over the top in the West? Because prior to the addition of Boogie Cousins, I still had the Warriors as clearly the team to beat in the Western Conference and obviously all of basketball. Houston on the rung just below. Although, if I'm going to be fair with how I view this, let's say Andre Iguodala had been healthy. I think the Warriors would have won that series in 5 or 6 games. Speculation on my part, but that's why I'm in the chair. But let's just ride with Houston, and maybe you believe Chris Paul can finally stay healthy, although you are what you consistently do when he broke down for a reason again towards the end of Game 5 in the Western Finals. So it's Warriors 1, Houston 2, and LeBron and this group, with all the wackiness that's going to come with them, no better than 3rd in the Western Conference. If you want to expand your focus, who are you buying in the East? Boston? That's the list. Philadelphia is a great story. I love the ascendancy, trusting the process. Would have loved to have seen LeBron hook up with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. But right now, the NBA has a colossal problem when it comes to parity. If we're just forecasting teams that have a legitimate chance to win it all, the Warriors will maintain their momentum. Houston, I think they'll miss Trevor Ariza, but hopefully from the point of view of the Rockets, they can retain Clint Capella. Lakers, a nice story, but they're not even going to make it to the Western Conference Finals. And in the East, it's all Boston. So we're probably talking about 3 teams, with all due respect to Toronto, who was the top seed in the regular season. 3 teams and 3 teams only. The Warriors, the Rockets, and the Celtics with a chance to hoist the Larry O'Brien trophy. And the NBA's got a real issue with parity moving forward. You want to chime in? Pick up the phone. It's 1-800-636-8686. Emails, rome@haveatake.com. Hit me up on Twitter, BW Weber, Weber with 2 Bs. You have my sincere pledge, my promise, that I'll take more phone calls, I'll read more emails, more of your tweets coming up at 40 past the hour straight ahead. Much more NBA conversation. We'll dig deeper into the blockbuster move that broke Twitter last night. Boogie Cousins on his way to Golden State. Plus, will the Lakers be able to land Kawhi Leonard? We'll cover it all with Eric Pincus from BasketballInsiders.com. Just getting warmed up on a busy Tuesday. It's the day before the 4th of July. We have verbal pyrotechnics. Brian Weber with you in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber back with you, in for Jim Rome. You're on CBS Sports Radio, getting you set for Independence Day. Hop aboard on Twitter, BW Weber. You can email me, rome@haveatake.com. Your phone call's coming up in less than 20 minutes at 1-800-636-8686. Let's keep the NBA conversation going. Pleased to be joined by Eric Pincus from BasketballInsiders.com. You saw him throughout the free agent frenzy on NBA TV. Eric, thanks for taking the time. Got to start with the Warriors. NBA Twitter blowing up last night with the news that Boogie Cousins is going to Oakland. I understand in the abstract, well, people are freaking out, saying, okay, when he finally gets healthy, the Warriors are going to have 5 All-Stars in the starting 5. But isn't there a lot of presumption built into that analysis? What exactly are the Warriors getting Boogie Cousins capable of doing right now, coming back from the Achilles injury?
It's a tough one. I think Boogie was the most interesting question going into the summer. Obviously, we all cared where LeBron went and Paul George and some of the other guys, but it was really hard to say. Would the Pelicans reinvest in Cousins, given that injury and given how well they played without him in the playoffs? And it's a tough injury. I mean, that is, in basketball, that's considered the worst injury. Like what Paul George did to his ankle, what Gordon Hayward did, that's not as bad as an Achilles tear. As gruesome and as horrible as those injuries were, they're not as serious. And I don't know what Boogie will be. I know that it's not going to be right away. But that Achilles itself is going to be fine. What the concern becomes, like the other knee, right? The guys who, if you tear your right Achilles, you're more likely to have injuries on your left side later in your career. We saw with Kobe, he had all kinds of knee problems, et cetera. Freak accidents, right? He fell, hit us. But you're just more liable because your body has to do something different than you've done your whole life. So from a concern point of view, yeah, but is there any team that can take that risk? Of course, it's the Warriors because, come on. I mean, they're the best team in the league. They've got championships. They've got KD and Steph and all those guys. If Cousins can come back, and he doesn't have to come back and be strong in January, we're talking in May, in June, in April. If he can be there for the playoffs and be himself, I mean, that's ridiculous.
Talking Hoops with Eric Pincus from BasketballInsiders.com. So that's the basketball piece. How about personality? We know that Cousins had a ton of issues when he was playing for the Kings. How do you see him being integrated when he joins the Warriors?
Well, if he accepts his place in the big picture, and he needs a contract, right? He needs to get money the next year. He's going to be a free agent. This is a one-year thing. I don't expect him to be with the Warriors the following season. They don't really have the means to pay him, and this is just a moment in time, and he's going to be on his best behavior. He's going to go out there. And I mean, look, they got JaVale McGee 2 rings. They got Nick Young a ring. None of those guys are bad guys. DeMarcus is not a bad guy. I mean, these are not guys doing things outside in the real world that are they're not getting arrested. This is not who they are, but they're all different kind of personalities. Cousins has a huge temper. He's very emotional, but he's also a really tremendous basketball player, arguably the best big guy in the entire league. Embiid might disagree, but that injury, it'll knock him down a peg. We'll have to see how close he can get back. But all the Warriors have to do is, if he's a problem, is you cut him. Right? Like, they don't need him. It's a luxury. So he'll be on his best behavior. He's going to go out there, work his tail off to get healthy, not just for the Warriors, so that when he hits free agency next year, when there's like 20-something teams that have a ton of money, that he can get a huge contract.
Eric, now the Lakers have added Rajon Rondo, Lance Stephenson, JaVale McGee, even with LeBron James as the leader. How combustible could the squad be?
Oh, I don't. When you've got LeBron running the show, they're not going to be combustible. Everyone's going to get in line behind LeBron. Lance is always a wild card. I mean, Lance Stephenson's a funny guy. He's if anybody's willing to do something crazy, it's Lance.
Well, he blew in LeBron's ear.
Yeah.
Is that endearing somehow?
He's a strange guy. But look, LeBron wanted him. That's all that matters, right? The Lakers didn't go and sign Lance because they thought it was a good idea. They did it because. Look, my daughter is plays basketball. I love the videos of Lance and LeBron that you can find on YouTube or wherever, just going at it. And when I told her that this is happening, she lost her mind. And she wondered why that would be. And I said, LeBron respects this guy. He steps up and fights against him. How many people are ready to fight and show that kind of will and that kind of personality against LeBron James? So a lot of people look at LeBron and they take a step back, and they're not willing to challenge the king. And, hey, if Lance is the court jester, then so be it. I don't think – the issue right now is talent to support LeBron. The Lakers have a lot of talent, but they don't have a lot of mature talent, right? So you've got Kyle Kuzma, you've got Lonzo Ball, you've got Brandon Ingram. You've got young guys who may not be ready for this level of play, what it takes to win. Maybe they are, and maybe the Lakers have everything they need to be a top three team in the West and maybe a top team. I don't really believe that yet. I don't think their shooting's good enough yet. But they still have moves to make. And so let's see how the summer finishes out. Still looking at possibly going after Kawhi Leonard. There's not a lot of free agents left, but they have some assets. If they decide to cash out some of these kids and make some trades, there's going to be some good veterans that they can go after.
Eric Pincus, BasketballInsiders.com, is our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. You referenced San Antonio. Final question on Kawhi Leonard. What's the timetable? Do you think the Spurs feel any urgency to move him now before the start of training camp, or could they slow play this all the way to the trade deadline?
Well, look, this is the reality. Kawhi's not going to be a Spur next season. That's period, right? So if they wait long enough, he leaves and they get nothing in return. So – there is pressure there. And to deny just because they're the Spurs and they have a tremendous track record over the last 20 years. I can't take anything away from the Spurs and who they've been. But the reality is they're going to lose a top player in this league for nothing if they don't trade him. Now, if Kawhi is going to be hard and if the Sixers say, here's a great package, and Kawhi says to them, I'm not staying, well, then they're not going to offer that great package. If Boston, Danny Ainge offers all these young pieces, or if he offers Kyrie, right, and then Kawhi says, you know what, I'm not going to stay in Boston, well, then they ain't going to offer Kyrie. It's just not going to happen. And you could say, well, Paul George, you know, look, he went to Oklahoma City, and look at that. Well, believe me, Paul George is not the same person. Paul George likes to be liked. He's a nice guy. Not to say that Kawhi isn't, but Kawhi is a different dude. You know, we talk about Lance. This is a guy who runs at a different pace. He's going to do his thing. And if he forces any other team to back off and really pushes for the Lakers, Lakers are sitting on a ton of money next year. They're only giving out one-year contracts other than the LeBron. So they're going to be at the position to just sign him up. So I don't know where that leverage position is. I feel like the Spurs do not have a lot of leverage, but they do have some because Kawhi is under contract with them. So it's up to them to make that deal. And God knows, they don't want to send them to the Lakers, but if that's the best return, then they're going to have to bite the bullet and make a deal.
Eric, as always, we appreciate the insights. Thanks for taking the time to join us today here on CBS Sports Radio.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Eric Pincus, BasketballInsiders.com, NBA TV. Let's play the hypothetical game. Let's say Kawhi is dealt or goes to the Lakers as a free agent at the end of this season. Another superstar staying in the Western Conference. And I'll kick this around coming up in hour number two of the program. But you can chime in on Twitter right now, BW Weber. Who's the best player in the East? Kyrie Irving? All right, do we know he's healthy? The disparity between East and West has never been more radical. And I think because the NBA is the most progressive of the leagues, they have to consider blowing up the distinction between the conferences when we get to the postseason. Just seed them 1 through 16 because right now it is the West, the West, the West. And, oh, yeah, Boston's got that real nice team with Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward coming back, but the imbalance is out of control. 1-800-636-8686 is a number to call. If you're on the line, be patient. Your phone call's coming up in about 10 minutes. Plus, we're going to get you set for the smack-off, starting our countdown of the three most interesting calls in the history of that glorious competition on this fine program. That is on the way, but first, it's time for a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Brian Weber back with you with a reminder this Independence Day. Tune in to CBS Sports Network for a full day of the toughest sport on dirt. July 4th, PBR Marathon, presented by Steel, tomorrow morning, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, only on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports, CBS Sports Network. Coming up in 10 minutes, because it's all about forward promotion and radio and listen countdowns, especially on the day before a major holiday, we're going to bring you what I believe to be the third most interesting call in the history of the Smack Off as you get set for its return Friday, July 20th. A reminder, no more studio invasions. Call it the Leffen Laguna rule. How will the two-time defending champ make an adjustment? It's always the biggest day of the year inside the jungle, and it's coming up Friday, July 20th. Your phone call's on the way, 1-800-636-8686. How about some tweets? BW Weber, Weber with two B's, say it with me. Weber with two B's. Here's Darren Acuna. Great, it's a Brian Weber day. Let's see what we can dump on him today, signed Najee Davenport. Tyler in Seattle. I'd rather listen to Adam Hawk ramble about sports than this scrub filling in for Rome. Is that your burner account, Adam Hawk? Bullfan23? I'm going to have to do some investigating when I get done with this show. T-Mal761, I'm not giving the 76ers a shot in the East. The answer is no. Come on, we're not doing real hardcore analysis here. This is now the show within the show portion of the program. Stephen H-Town, a legend on this show. If Hawk's wearing a T-shirt on Tuesday, what's he saving for Friday? Tank top. Now I think it's a Chippendales Friday coming up. And boy, the TV audience is going to have a bonanza heading into the weekend. Manuel buzzer. Brian Weber sounds like a baseball play-by-play guy. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Well, that is interesting because I'm going to destroy baseball top of the hour. By now, I think you know my MO. I talk football whenever I can, as much NBA as I can cram into the program. But we'll get to competitive eating in hour number three. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with baseball, and Adam Hawk is going to send me more hate tweets because even though he is a millennial, he's older than me when it comes to his taste in sports. Baseball is dying, my friends. $9 billion industry now. Talk to me in 5 years. We'll get there top of the hour. I promise more phone calls, whether you like me or not, at 1-800-636-8686. Here is Ken in San Diego. He's listening on 97.3 The Fan here in Southern California. Kenny, you're in the jungle. What's going on?
Good morning. I had a question. You had 31 teams besides the Warriors not to ask DeMarcus Cousins to even come in and sit the bench for half a year to get himself right. Not even his own team wanted to bring him back. The second question is since everybody's so mad, what would they think about a starting line of KD, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, Stephen Curry, and Klay Thompson? Because that's where it's possibly heading. So everyone should stop being so mad because 31 billionaires could have picked him up for $5 million.
Ken, you're making way too much sense. You're going to put us out of business here in Sports Talk Radio. That was a thoughtful call. Well, as Eric Pincus laid out, the Warriors have plenty of margin for error based on what they've done the last 4 years. If we're going to be totally transparent, they should have beaten the Cavs when they blew the 3-1 lead. We know why. They failed to get it done because Draymond Green couldn't control his actions once more. Andrew Bogut was hurt. And LeBron was transcendent with a lot of help from Kyrie Irving in Game 7. So when you are this much better than everybody else, in part because of the rules in the modern NBA, and that's why I don't do the Jordans, Bulls versus the current Warriors comparison, because the game is totally different. Just throw on NBA TV throughout the holiday, and you can watch a classic game from 1995. Look at how physical it was. Look at the hand-checking. That said, when you have a projected starting five with five All-Stars, and you're coming off your third title in 4 years, it's a scary notion for everybody else, but the fix wasn't in. This wasn't David Stern digging around for the frozen envelope, as Pincus laid out, and we'll get back to this coming up in hour number two, at about 1:20 Eastern time when we're scheduled to check in with Kurt Heelan from ProBasketballTalk.com. A majority of the teams out there had a shot at picking up the phone and calling New Orleans, and they could have worked out a deal earlier before Cousins got hurt, or now that he's a free agent, or was at least yesterday, he hit the marketplace, and the market is never wrong. And the majority of teams apparently said, thanks but no thanks, given the health concerns. There's no definitive timetable for when he's going to come back from the Achilles injury. And as Pincus mentioned, and I also had laid out in the monologue, that is the most debilitating injury of them all. I can't think of a player who was top 10, top 15. A marquee name in all of basketball going down with the Achilles and coming back and being the same. It virtually ended the career of Elton Brand. We can go through the whole list of players that were forever damaged by that injury. So this is a risk-reward proposition for the Warriors. But if it doesn't work, so what? They'll go out and find another big guy to fill the role that JaVale McGee has played adequately the last couple years. And we crushed JaVale because of all the shacking of fool nonsense. If you were paying attention, he played pretty well. Although if LeBron is putting together a bunch of misfits in Southern California, isn't it only a matter of time before Swaggy P comes back to the Lakers? He is meant to be inside that locker room. What about J.R. Smith? They can just parade around with no shirts on. If LeBron wants to go all in with every knucklehead he can find, feels like there's some more talent, quote unquote, at his disposal. Squeezing a quick thought that is tangentially related to football. Terrell Owens has made it official. He is going to have his own Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony, same day as the other immortals go into the hall in Canton, Ohio, at his alma mater, UT Chattanooga. I covered young T.O. when I was doing local TV in San Francisco. Not the full T.O. doing sit-ups without a shirt in his front yard in Philadelphia. Not the weeping T.O. That's my quarterback in Dallas, not the mercenary T.O. bouncing around the league at the end of his career, not the T.O. trying to prove to whomever he feels is still a doubter out there that he can run a 4-4 in the midst of his mid-40s. I always found him to be affable, but this was a young T.O., and he was held in check a little bit by Jerry Rice. He didn't have the ability to get too much out of line in that locker room loaded with veterans until he pulled the stunt with the star in midfield in Dallas. I respect Terrell Owens personally. I've always had a good relationship with him. We've had good conversations on Radio Row at the Super Bowl. But while I understand what he is doing and why undeniably, in a sports context, it was a misdeed and a huge injustice that he had to wait this long to get into the Hall of Fame, because as you look at the numbers, they jump off the page. If we were just talking about Player X, T.O. should have been in the Hall of Fame a long time ago. And the writers came up with a contrived, and I think nonsensical explanation to keep him out, saying that, well, we consider the locker room somehow to be an extension of the field. And because he was, quote unquote, a bad teammate, and you can get a split verdict there. You can talk to guys like Donovan McNabb, who would probably tell you one thing, and other guys who like T.O. But writers saying that, now the locker room is going to be part of the analysis. That's just nonsense. This is the Hall of Fame based on your production. It's not the Baseball Hall of Fame where character is part of the stated criteria. T.O. should have been in a long time ago, and I'm glad the wrong was finally righted, but he is damaging his legacy, if he cares about it, by not being in Canton, Ohio. And the fact that he's going to give his speech the same day as what is always a highlight on the football calendar is just wrong and petty. And I understand he's going to do it earlier, so he's not conflicting with the actual Hall of Fame ceremony when everybody else is going to show up and get their yellow jacket. But at some point, you got to stop caring about what people say or think about you. The numbers speak for themselves. And maybe this is part of a calculated plan to sell a sponsorship, or he's going to put it on TO.com and try to monetize it. I don't know the motivation other than he's trying to stick it to people who he felt like did him wrong. And I get it. We all have these revenge fantasies. Wouldn't you like to walk around your office, especially on the day before a holiday, and tell people what you really think about him? You could do it today. Nobody's there. You could just speak into an empty cube. And we could all live through somebody who is, quote unquote, unafraid like T.O. But this is beneath him. He's one of the greatest players in the history of the sport. I know his ego was bruised. I know he feels like he's justified in doing this. But sometimes you got to be the better person. And he's going to miss out on a fabulous occasion that he could really savor for the rest of his life. I'm sure it's going to be nice in Chattanooga. And he'll be surrounded by sycophants, family, and friends. But there's nothing like being on that stage with the living Hall of Famers, the fellas that he should be going into the Hall of Fame with. And to me, he's making a colossal error, especially with the timing of his own quote-unquote enshrinement. 1-800-636-8686. Keep the venom going on Twitter. That's BW Weber. Weber with two Bs. Yes, the jacket is a rental. I have to get it back quickly because tomorrow's a holiday, and I don't want to pay the penalty. All right, let's get wacky. Woo, we're getting weird on the day before a major holiday. Nothing says the greatness of sports talk radio like a countdown. It's all about lists, the consultants tell us. Remember, consultants in every business are guys who got fired, and then they're going to show up at your job and tell you how to do it better. But we're all building up the anticipation for the Smack-Off. It's coming up July 20th. So, as we get set for the biggest day every year in the jungle, let's begin our countdown today of what I believe to be the three most interesting calls in the history of the competition. I think by now it's pretty clear I'm old school. Most of my references are circa 1986. So, if I wanted to go back 20 years ago when I became a clone, I was tempted to go with Silk Bra or Eye of Freddy instead. Because he made a comeback this year, and because I requested when I filled in February that this man return to the jungle, here is Jeff in Richmond from 2002.
The thing I value most about my participation in the jungle is the fact that I get access to people who matter in the world of sports, people with a lot of juice clones, centers of influence like Rome, like Costas, and like my new friend Don Grapes Cherry, eh? Because after all, clones, Grapes did refer specifically to Virginia in his first appearance in the jungle. So in the final analysis, clones, I have the distinct honor of referring to these gentlemen not only as my friends, clones, but more importantly, as my colleagues. Jim, thank you for your time. Aloha means goodbye. War Commonwealth of Virginia, War State Sports Radio AM 910 in Richmond, War being fitted with the 46 athletic green jacket to accommodate my 18 3/4 inch pipes. War Mr. Personality J. Stu without the nicks and cuts of a blade. And until next time, Jim, good night now.
I can listen to that all day. Adam Hawk, why do we only play a minute? I think we should have played the entire call. The audience would have preferred that. Adam refusing to put on the headphones because it's a mail-in Tuesday heading into a holiday. Just not. It plays very well on radio. I don't care that it was a six-minute call. I would just play that call in a loop, Adam Hawk. What do we do in the third hour? Actually, you don't know because I am the fill-in producer as well. I'm going to tear up my rundown and just play that call time and time again.
What's up, Brian?
Okay, thank you. Thank you for waking up. What has the reaction within the jungle been to the vaunted return of Jeff in Richmond?
People are very happy that Jeff is back because some people get nostalgia from it. And then there's another faction of the jungle that believes that it is just a retread of the same stuff that he's been doing for over a decade. And if you were to listen to WWE wrestling, you can hear a lot of his material in that forum as well. So half the jungle loves it, half the jungle hates it, but he is great for the smack off. He is great for the show, and it's awesome that he's going to be back on Friday the 20th.
It doesn't matter.
And thanks again for dressing up for the fill-in host. Would you like to borrow my jacket?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Goodbye, Adam Hawk.
Looks good.
I'm told, as we look ahead to hour number two, you have a surprise in store for me. Something from early in my broadcast career that I may be embarrassed of. That's on the way. Is that a good tease?
It's a great tease. It's from 13 years ago. And I can't wait to get to it, Brian.
Okay. So much like Jeff in Richmond, I'm recycling the same material from a decade and a half ago. I think you just summed up my approach.
Can't wait.
Just have one or two ideas, beat it into the ground, references that are 20 years old. And in fact, if I'm going to be open, I think the reason why I love Jeff so much is connected to my passion for wrestling circa 1988, 1996. In fact, if I'm lucky enough to come back, one of these days, we're going to book the great Conrad Thompson, because when I'm not listening to Jim Rome and all the fine content here on CBS Sports Radio, it is the golden age of wrestling podcasts. If you wondered what happened to Tony Schiavone and didn't know he was calling AAA baseball in Atlanta, Tony's back. Brother Love is back. Bischoff is back. I really need a hobby. Relationships. Someone to talk to. You could talk to me. Clearly, I'm a lonely man. 1-800-636-8686. Emails, romanhaveatake.com. Hit me up on Twitter, BW Weber. Weber with two Bs. But one of the great byproducts of this show now making the triumphant transition to TV and the CBS Sports Network has been the return of jungle legends like Jeff in Richmond, Brad and Corona. And it's all going to culminate with a smack-off for the ages coming up Friday, July 20th. And remember, no more studio invasion. So let's see what Left in Laguna has in store. As we get set for hour number two of the program, buy some stamps and mail it in on the day before a holiday. More of your phone calls. Plus, we'll continue the countdown, bringing you what I believe to be the second most interesting call in the history of the smack-off. More NBA conversation coming up in 25 minutes when we're joined by Kurt Heelan from ProBasketballTalk.com. Plus, as advertised, Adam Hawk says he believes that he has material from my career that'll be radio gold. It's all on the way here on CBS Sports Radio.